everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight right here on WWCR 5070 out of Nashville, Tennessee, live tonight on the 30th of December. Got a great message. Want you to stay tuned, call a friend, and tell them the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy is on the air. Well, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go into before the world was, or the cycle of times. Well, we know that we're in perilous times, and that's for sure. But did you know that man knows more about current events than he knows about his inward man? And you say, well, Pastor Buddy, what's so important about the inward man? Let's just wait for death, and we'll take our soul sleep, and we'll take our rest, and then all of this that we're worried about today will be over with. I want to ask you a question. What about people that lived, let's say, 5,000 years ago? Of course, you didn't know them, but did the Creator know them? Are we known from the foundation of the world? Did he know Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1? It is indicated that he knew him before he ever came into his mother's womb. Have we been somewhere with him? Some people believe in the doctrine of soul sleep. We're going to talk about it tonight because of some of the biblical statements that would seem to indicate the ideal that the soul goes somewhere and sleeps. But one of the biggest evidences is the fact that the Bible, which uses the term sleep for death, like in Daniel 12 and 2, or in Matthew 27, 52, John 11, 11, Acts 13, 36, it seems that the word was only a euphemism for death. However, that was limited in its description of a body. A person who has passed away is like a person that has gone to sleep. This does not mean that there cannot be a soul or spirit that survives the sleeping of the flesh body. Now, get this with you, understanding, and I pray that the Father would further your understanding that we are eternal beings. We're not made to sleep. We're not made to eat. We're not made to drink. We're not made to be merry in the inward man. Christ told the disciples who were hungry in the outward man. And the Bible says, here is the distinction between the two aspects of my thoughts tonight. There is an inward man, and there is an outward man. Now, this outward man has the flesh of what we would describe as from the dust of the earth. The Bible, when it indicates that that outward body dies, it goes to sleep. It's a euphemism. It is dead. And the dead know nothing. Now, there's a lot of people that believe that at some future point in the history or in the end time, most Christians accept this as a fact, that there will be a resurrection of the dead. The graves will burst open, and all of those millions or billions or trillions or zillions of people that have lived in the past will emerge out of the graves on the earth. What about those who are not in the earth, in a grave? Paul made a mention in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 14 and 16, talking about the resurrection. Well, now, notice this. There had already been one, and yet there was no visible resurrection of earthly graves bursting open that men can see. For if we believe that the Messiah, Yahweh Yeshua, died and rose again, even so, them who also sleep, remember that's a euphemism word, can be attributed to the outward man. But you see, the inward man never sleeps. Now, that may be strange. He never eats. He never thirsts. He never hungers. Why? Because he has meat to eat. And this is the truth. The truth is the meat. And that's what feeds the hungry souls. And it's the truth that Pilate inquired diligently and asked the direct question to the Messiah, who actually opened not his mouth. For it is given unto us, according to Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, that is one thing for Yahweh to conceal the truth from the outward man and reveal it to his sons and daughters after the inward. For if we believe that the Messiah rose again, even those who sleep in the Messiah will God, Yahweh, Yeshua in the flesh body, coming back as the Almighty, get ready to meet him, will bring with him. Now listen to that again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14 through verses 16. I would that you would go there in your study. In tonight's message, after that you hear, you can order this message from a pastor by the end of Shepherd's Call. We'll give you the address, and I would that you would take a look at the two different men. Most people believe that that their flesh man is going to lay asleep out in the graveyard, and thousands of years, maybe, perhaps, or maybe millions, who knows, at a appointed time, that flesh man is going to get up and reunite with what we call the soul body, and then we'll stand before the judgment for a final end time judgment. The Bible says that we are the temple of Yahweh, and judgment begins at that temple. The very moment that you begin to breathe, you come into the world exposed to, through the outward man, in a fallen state, although you did not, or your spirit did not, do anything to accredit such atrocity. It is given in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 27, one of the greatest passages that those who are opposed to reincarnation or living again, when they say, well, it's once appointed unto a man to die, and after that, the judgment. Which man? Which man is going to be judged? The inward man or the outward man? The Bible says that you will give an account for every idle word that you speak. And yet Christians say, all you've got to do to escape that judgment is come down here to our altar and let us lay hands on you and pray for you, and you accept Christ and confess him with your mouth, and you will escape the judgment of Yahweh's wrath and law. Is that true? Well, the Bible says that he didn't come to do away with the law, but Christianity teaches that all you've got to do to go to heaven is be saved. And yet the scriptures teach that you were saved from the foundation of the world. Now that's that eternal spirit. And yet the flesh man, who learns his obedience by his disobedience. I have always learned more through my faults and my failures. I would have not known sin except the law had gave me a pattern to tell me what sin was. Let's say that there is no sin. Then everything is fair game. Murder would be fair, but you know that murder is not fair, but killing is. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, I don't believe in killing anything. Well, neither do I, as long as I don't have to. But I will kill to defend. I will kill to protect. I will kill to honor. And so then, we find that the outward man who is commanded to kill, the same outward man is commanded not to murder. There is a difference, and most of the commandments are written wrong when it says, thou shalt not kill. It don't say that in the text of the book of the Torah, which is the major five books of the Old Testament or the Old Parchment, it is not commanded that we should not kill. We are to kill all of our enemies. We are to take the land. Israel was commanded to defend themselves and not to make marriages with those who were around them called heathen. Did you know that the 12 tribes are the only ones to whom salvation is granted? Salvation is only not to the Jews, as it is recorded in the 4th chapter of the book of John, which is misquoted or mistranslated. It is not Jews that have salvation. It is the house of Jacob called Heber through the Hebrews. So that word has been interposed into the scriptures in a context as the writers describe two different races of people, and only two upon the earth, Jew and Gentile. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a misnomer and a very fatal misunderstanding of the scriptures, and my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Now, what did he mean, Pastor Buddy, when he said that salvation is only to the Jews? He didn't say that. That is a mistranslation. Salvation is to the lost sheep or the 12 tribes or those who were turned away from the geographical area of what was known as Israel, not Judah. And ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't make it no more plainer for you. In the 1 Kings chapter 17, it is expressed thoroughly that there were two houses. In other words, the house of Israel split. There was a dispute about the brethren. And ladies and gentlemen, that's nothing strange, for we know that the Israelites were warring continuously in their own house. Your foes will be those of your own household. He's not talking about your immediate household, although it could narrow down to that. He's talking about the household of Israel. Split. Division. It split, ladies and gentlemen, even back in the 37th chapter of the book of Genesis. It split to go on back to the 3rd chapter of Genesis. The children of light and the children of darkness, the influence of those who are dead or those who sleep. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, who's dead? Those that appear to be alive and yet they're walking sepulchers, twice dead, plucked up by the roots and never did have any life in them. The light in them is dark, meaning that they cannot go toward the light. So the term, in the euphemism term of sleep, it's not directed to the spirit. The Bible says in the 12th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, ladies and gentlemen, and hear this well, that the flesh man, that outward man, there is two people. When you look in the mirror, you should see two. You see one obedient, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That flesh is the outward man who was banned in the 3rd chapter of the book of Genesis by Yahweh himself, that he might bind or cast out or refuse entrance to Satan as he manifested in a flesh body through the seed of Cain and all the fallen angels that bared witness as they produced the fruit of death or the fruit of eternal damnation. And so salvation is not to all the world. Wrong. Christianity is so gullible and been so deceived in that they do not understand the mysteries of the scriptures. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 verse 21 through verse 23, for to me is to live is Christ, or the anointing, or the Messiah, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell, for I am in a strait between the two, having a desire to depart. Ladies and gentlemen, if your soul wasn't warred or connected to by the silver cord that's spoken by the great preacher, where that said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, that the flesh goes back to the dust, that is not the man that is going to raise up in some resurrection. Christ said, I am the resurrection, and you shall never die. Now, if you'll never die, you don't have to raise again, because you're alive eternally through the Father from the foundation of the world with your names on the Lamb's book, and only those that are His, and He does know of them that are His. So then, He said, I am a strait between the two. The two what? The flesh who loves this world, the flesh that loves to do evil, the flesh that types after the prototype of Satan, who got the prototype in the garden. And so therefore, by Satan being the father of the first exit from the womb, and this exit was Cain, who was of the wicked one, everything that came through this tainted womb of Eve, altogether born in sin, so the outward man, who was initially meant to live eternally. And there's where Satan struck the fatal blow to the flesh man. Christ, when He pronounced death, did not absolutely pronounce a sleep or a death upon the spirit. He pronounced it upon the flesh of Adam and the flesh of Satan. So then, both of these, Satan was a created being, Adam was an eternal being. See, the Bible says that we, Adam's seed, Adam's sons, Adam's chosen, are those that will judge angels. Would it not be fair, after all the misery and the heartache and the punishment and the sin and the corruption and the sickness and the diseases and the hardships and the poverty that we face, if there wasn't a reward for standing true? The Bible said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Satan works in the outward. Yahweh does His perfect work in the spirit. The spirit goes back from whence it came. You are spirit. God is spirit. We're made in the image of the eternal Yahweh, who is an eternal being, with our names on the Lamb's book from the foundation of the world. Now, let me show you something in 17 Matthew. What about Moses that appeared along with Elijah? Have you ever wondered about those two great men that before the foundation was? Notice in the book of Luke, chapter 11, verse 50, when Christ said, the blood of all of the prophets shed since the foundation of the world, starting with Abel. Did you know that Abel was a son of Yahweh slain from the foundation of the world, beginning with the first drop of blood that ran down off the body of Abel? And it was in the Old Testament, where it was closed out in the book of Zechariah, where they slayed the prophets of Yahweh between the porch and the altar, Christ mentioned. And from that point, where Malachi, in the fourth chapter of the book of Malachi, said, behold, I will, this is Yahweh's prophetic promise, I will send you Elijah. Oh my, Elijah is going to come? Well, that's what Malachi chapter 4 indicates, that Elijah, well, ladies and gentlemen, if we go back to 1 Kings chapter 18, we'll find that Elijah was running from Ahab and Jezebel. in a body of flesh. And do you know what that John looked like when he came, as opposed to what Elijah looked like when he lived? Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is evident that both of them were characteristically not diametrically opposed to one another, but had, if you will, the same. Now, when I say the same, they had the same characteristics from one incarnation to the next. And you say, well, now, bless God, the Bible says itself that Elijah said that he wasn't Elijah. Or John the Baptist declared he wasn't Elijah. He didn't say that, ladies and gentlemen. You need to take a closer look at the wording of the scriptures, which cannot be voided, and let them that listen to me tonight understand that you are not a temporary going to the grave participant. If you belong to the Messiah, you belong to the God of the living, not the God of the dead. Job in 19:25 says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he will stand upon the earth in the latter days. Now, in the book of Matthew, it is prophesied that Elijah came in a flesh body that looked amazingly like Elijah the Tishbite. Let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 8. They replied when Ahab asked those who were witnesses that pronounced this judgment upon Israel. Ahab said, what did he look like? And they replied, well, he was a man with a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. And the king immediately said, that was Elijah the Tishbite. Oh, my. Now, it is repeated in Matthew chapter 3, verse 4. They replied, he was a man with a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. And the king said, this was Elijah the Tishbite. Now, why is it repeated in the New Testament? For what reason? To give you the characteristics of soul inheritance, having a flavor distinctively that you may be recognized from one incarnation to the other. Oh, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, that's reincarnation, and we Christians don't believe in that. Glory to God. Shunda, hallelujah. We just believe that we go down to the altar and we get saved and glory to God, and then we die and we lay over here in the graveyard with mom and dad, and then at the general resurrection we're all going to raise up in that day. Again, Christ said, I am not the God of the dead. God will not raise the dead if they're dead. He only deals with the source of life. Your eternal spirit, if you have one, you're born from above, not again spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been lulled to sleep by the falsehood of those who profess to interpret the Bible. Luke 12 and 5. I'll show you. Now listen to me. You need to fear. You need to pray. You need to fast to get acquainted with the inward man. Ladies and gentlemen, I have spent years trying to get acquainted with my inward man. Did you know that the ways of the inward is not the ways of the outward? And that the contrariness of the outward man, that Paul said he wished he was accursed from? Ladies and gentlemen, we have this baggage, this bondage, this flesh man down here, and our souls are experiencing these tribulations and trials. And in this, we are polished, we grow, we're like the rough diamond that is encased in the flesh body. And this flesh body must be laid aside just to death when the last breath, when the silver cord is broken. That soul does not go to the grave. and lay there for millennials waiting on a general resurrection. It doesn't happen. It goes right back from whence it came. Now, if it came from the Father, it went back to the Father. The flesh man did not come from the Father. It came from the earth, and flesh and blood shall not inherit the place where the Spirit resides. It was evident that that man, Adam, was driven from the inner earth kingdom, that paradise, that place of eternalness, because of the transgression, not of Adam, ladies and gentlemen. Everybody blames Adam with the transgression. The Bible said Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So the transgression was between the woman who produced both seeds, seeds of the good and seed of the evil. The flesh man belongs to Satan. He got the type, ladies and gentlemen. And if you want to find Satan, just pinch your old flesh man. Go and look in the mirror. You'll find the devil, your violent, your most violent enemy to your soul. That's the man that will oppose you every time that you would do good. Your flesh man is standing right there and giving you a 99 reasons to one when you should do evil. I'll give you an example. Let's say that the spirit man, and some of you have been prompted to this. I know I've been through this. I have been prompted to fast, and the old flesh man was weary, wasn't willing because he loves to eat, and man shall not. It depends on what kind of a thirst or a hunger that you have, for man shall not live by bread alone. There will come a time that you will love your inward man and hate your outward man. Any man that comes to me that hates not himself. Christ was not talking about generally hating the things that you do or don't do. He's talking about the flesh man that is always weak, and when you would do good, evil is always present with you in the flesh body. For instance, if your spirit asks you to fast, to go on a fast, to refrain from eating. Now, the inward man will rejoice and grow strong. The outward man will give you 99 reasons. He'll give you headaches. He'll give you hunger pains. He will cause you to lay awake at night and roll in the bed. I have spent a many of a sleepless night because of my outward man refused to give me rest until I fed it and give it the creature comforts that it deserved. But my inward man was strong and getting stronger. That's why Paul said it is expedient that to die would be gain. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Now, let's look for just a moment, as we are going to pause right here for just a moment, and we're going to give you our theme song for Dixie, and we hope and trust tonight that you enjoy this message. We'll be back right after the song with part two of Before the World Begun. In the land of all things are not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Sing it, fellas. Oh, I wish I was here.
Yahweh for the truth, ladies and gentlemen. It has to march on. It is a silent march, and it's coming soon to the whole earth, when the whole earth will be filled with the truth. In Matthew 11, verse 11, the Messiah says, I tell you the truth. Among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forcefully men lay hold upon it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you're willing to accept it, he is the fulfillment of Malachi chapter 4, verse 14. He is Elijah who was to come. He who has ears, let him hear. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the response that the Messiah gave himself. Now, do you trust him? Was that indeed Elijah? Of course, we know that it was not Elijah's flesh body that he was in over 700 years prior to the appearance of John. We know that he didn't have that same flesh body because John was born a baby from Elizabeth's womb. But he was indeed, according to Christ, Elijah, the spirit of Elijah. And that's exactly what John said. I am the spirit. Of the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 3. Then the disciples asked him in 17 Matthew, why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must first come? And the reply was in the 11th verse of the 17th chapter of Matthew. The Messiah replied, to be sure, Elijah will come and restore all things. But now get this. Here is the amazing entrance of knowledge to those who have ears to hear. Now, there's a lot of people never catch this message. They do not have the spiritual intellect. They're not children of the Most High. My children, he said, or my sheep will hear my voice. And ladies and gentlemen, it's impossible for you to catch the voice of Yahweh without listening to the voice of his prophets. 11th verse. Be sure to know that Elijah is prophesied to come and restore all things. But I tell you that Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, including the disciples, but have done unto him everything they wished. And in the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands. Verse 13, read it and mark it in your Bible. Then the disciples understood that he was talking to them about John the Baptist. Now, let's look again at the characteristics of John the Baptist. He was a man that dwelled in the wilderness, that was running from a woman, just like his counterpart, Elijah the Tishbite, who was fleeing for his life from Jezebel and Ahab. Here John is getting in trouble with Herodias and Herod. Ladies and gentlemen, could it be that there's nothing new under the sun for what is to be has already been? Could Elijah, who won the showdown at Mount Carmel, that killed all the prophets of Ahab and Jezebel, 450 each, by the way, could it be possible that the law of what we say, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth, and a head for a head. We're going to get into that just a little bit more as we get deeper into the subject. We won't have time to cover it all tonight. I'd like to do possibly a 2 to 3 part series in this to prove to you
that Malachi chapter 4 was fulfilled in Matthew chapter 17, verse 11. Then they, the disciples, understood that John the Baptist, the one that was fleeing in the wilderness 700 years prior, and here comes a man out of the wilderness with a leather girdle and a belt and camel's hair robe, a garment of skin, just like Elisha or Elijah the Tishbite. The characteristics are overwhelmingly similar. And ladies and gentlemen, if you have ears to hear, you must hear to understand. Then they were coming down from the mountain. Now we're going to go to Mark 9 and start at verse 9, and I'm going to read through verse 13. The disciples wanted to hear some more. Remember, Christ said, today the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. Today, that very day, in tabernacles of that year, in the seventh month, when they were up on the mountain, worshiping in booths, when Elijah, the Tishbite, or John, the Baptist, who had had his head cut off prior to the seventh month. Ladies and gentlemen, here we have a further understanding about life after death. As they were coming down from the mountain, the Messiah gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. And they kept the matter to themselves, discussing among themselves what rising from the dead really meant. You see, ladies and gentlemen, nobody's ever done this before. You see, Elijah the Tishbite had escaped death and was translated. Now let me give you a scripture here. No man has ascended into heaven except he first came down out of heaven. Now, does that mean that everybody that is going back to heaven has already been in heaven? Think about that for just a moment, and then you'll understand the resurrection of the dead. Not the resurrection of the flesh man. But death is the trigger. You are a body of flesh. You're just like a walking graveyard. And when you die, the spirit immediately, it takes its flight, separating from the outward man. Never, never. Just like John the Baptist said, I am not Elijah, the flesh man of 700 years prior. I am the spirit of Elijah. He had that much knowledge to know what his mission and purpose was. Do you know who you are? Have you spent enough time considering yourself, lest you let these wonderful things slip through your fingers as you like to watch the NFL and keep up with the daily scores, or maybe some filthy habit that you have, rather than fasting and praying and seeking the Father and studying to show yourself approved workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? And they said, why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must first come? Well, he's already come. And they've done everything that they desired to do to him that was written. And in Luke 1:17, listen to me well, and he shall go before Yahweh in the spirit and power, in the spirit of Elijah. Right there, ladies and gentlemen, the spirit is an eternal being, and it can assume different bodies, guaranteed. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, the Bible says it's once appointed unto a man to die and after the judgment. The judgment is death, ladies and gentlemen. The flesh man has got one judgment, death. And he's got that appointment, and he shall die. Do you not know that death is appointed only to the outward man? The inward man has no such curse upon him. His tomb, he's entombed in a body of flesh. This is the grave. At death, at the instant of death, the release of the cord that binds the spirit to the body is severed through death. It is God's way of cutting and dividing asunder the flesh from the spirit. And the spirit goes back to Yahweh who gave it. And it's alive, ladies and gentlemen. It survives with its intellect. John knew exactly who he was. He knew. Do you know who you are? Ladies and gentlemen, let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. We are predestinated with our names on the Lamb's book before the foundation of the world to be chosen in Him. Now, what are you going to do about that? Did you know that Esau didn't get saved? Oh, I guarantee you the First Baptist would save him. You know, Esau was a man of great wealth. He'd have been welcome down there, wouldn't he? At First, Second, Third, or Fourth Baptist. First Pentecostal, Second Pentecostal, 30th Pentecostal, or whatever. Any denominational system today would accept Esau right into their congregation. You see, ladies and gentlemen, they don't discern. It is a spiritual discernment. Deuteronomy 19 says, show no pity. This is the book of Moses' law. Life for life. Deuteronomy 19:21. Read it. Life for life. Eye for an eye. Tooth for a tooth. Hand for hand. And a foot for a foot. Ladies and gentlemen, be sure your sins find you out. Your flesh body inflicts sin or misdemeanors upon someone else. And you will bear the consequences of your sin. Be not deceived, for Yahweh is not mocked. For whatever a man sows in his flesh temple, he'll have to meet it. Because everything is a cycle. What goes around comes around. If you take an eye, you'll give one. You say, well, now, glory to God, Pastor Buddy, now all you got to do is run down there and let Jesus forgive your sins. Glory to God. Ladies and gentlemen, there's more Christians going to hell thinking that they're saved when in works they deny Him. Christ said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. And we've got these knee-jerky preachers down in the pulpit or the bell boxes. Just if, like I said about accepting Esau, they'll take anything you can chase, drag, and pull and save it. And put its name on the Lamb's book and holler, it's saved. And it goes right back out in the world and becomes two, four more the child of hell than it was to begin with. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me as I speak here. Very quickly and close out my message. Now the Pharisees, this is John 1:23. John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the desert. This is Isaiah 40:3 that I quoted. Make straight the way of Yahweh. And now the Pharisees who had been sent heard him and questioned him and said, why do you baptize if you are not the Christ? Because they asked him, are you the anointed Messiah? And he said, I am not. Are you Elijah? No, I am not. Are you any of the prophets? No, I am not. Who are you? I am the voice of one calling in the desert, speaking to the people to make straight in the way, a desert, a highway for Yahweh. I am the spirit of Elijah in a different flesh body. You might have one yourself, ladies and gentlemen, and you might have had something in the past, and yet you don't realize it. Listen to what Job said in 19:26. I got to close it. I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the end He will stand upon the earth. And after my skin worms destroy my body, yet in my flesh I will see God. How could that be without that spirit of Job that was tried and tested in the flesh body? Job had a hope that in his flesh he would see God. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that there's a crown laid up that will exactly fit you at the coming? That there is a body likened unto his glorious body at the transition of the last trump. This is when the cycle ends. And the law of Moses, which exacted a tooth for a tooth and an eye for an eye, when the soul has learned all of its life lessons, then shall come the end. And then we shall enter that eternal body that was prepared for us from the foundation of the world. Be likened unto his glorious body. Did you know that in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts that he ate and drank with them after he rose from the dead? And you think this is a marvelous thing? When he prototyped, did you know that the second Adam from heaven prototyped an eternal body that you're going to share in? Just like the first Adam destroyed the body through the fall by Satan's encouragement, here come the man to rectify the things that made the flesh a failure, made the inward man more than a conqueror. Thus, Paul could rightfully say, O death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Ladies and gentlemen, just the flesh man goes back there, and the grave claims him because the earth is to where he belongs. And that flesh and blood body will never raise again. But a body in the likeness of the Creator that's never, never, never tasted death, we'll have the eternal kingdom and the joy forever to live with him world and worlds without end. What a happy promise, ladies and gentlemen, that we have in our Creator. Now, you're listening to Pastor Buddy in the Shepherd's Call. I've been so delighted to be with you tonight. I long to be with you. You can hear Pastor Buddy and Brother Randall on WWRB 3.185. That's on your shortwave dial at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can email me if you have computer access at buddy1@centurytale.net. You can call me, area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. Drop me a note. Send me a letter if you'd like to have this series that explains life after death. You don't have to go to the graveyard. You don't have to have a ton of dirt thrown on your chest. I've had people say, oh, I just can't bear going to that grave. I know I'll just smother and I'll be wanting out of there. And ladies and gentlemen, please dig deep. Get on a foundation and dig your way out of a grave mentality. The euphemism of death fascinates most people. And they think they're going to the graveyard to lay to some future generation of a resurrection. When they are the graves that they are inhabiting, the outward man is nothing but a dirt grave walking around, two-legged sepulcher. And at the last heartbeat, when that flesh man of the pronouncement of death, when it gives way, the inward man takes its flight back to its eternal home. And those that remain in the end time, when this final cycle is ended, those that remain here alive upon the earth will not prevent those, because they will return with the Messiah, and all of those who have passed on, not in a graveyard, they're already resurrected, ladies and gentlemen. At the point of death is your resurrection. So think about it. Now, if your soul needs more experiences, the grace of the Eternal Father, knowing that you are an eternal being, can give you a another chance. Think about the inadequacies of the judgment or the righteousness of a system that is designed to have some people born blind. And the apostles asked, who sinned, this man that was born blind or his parents? Ladies and gentlemen, they believed in the art of recycling. The Pharisees believed in the art of a prophet's coming back. They questioned John. Ladies and gentlemen, Christ knew, and he knows you, he knows them that are his, and they're eternal beings, and they will never, never perish. And get this now, ladies and gentlemen, if you can handle it tonight, you'll never die. You see, you don't go to the graveyard. He that believeth in me, I am. Mary said, I know he'll raise and arrest. See, she didn't have no understanding. Christ had to correct her. I am. The causative verb to be, I am, Hayah, Eliyashar, Hayah. I am the resurrection. And I am not the God of the graveyard. Everybody wants him to be a God of the graveyard, and he's not. Ladies and gentlemen, he's the God of the living, not the God of the dead. You can write me, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. Now that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. That's New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now let me give you that again. You can call me. I'm live tonight. That's Pastor Buddy at Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. You can hear me on WWRB 11 o'clock with Brother Randall as we exchange the mysteries of the Bible. And you can also hear Pastor Buddy every Sunday night around the world on the transmitting Jewel of the South on WWCR 5070. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the great writer is coming through, and I've got to get out of here tonight. I've enjoyed being with you tonight. We'll close it out.
Across this